Well, this is Radio Entrepreneurs, the Conscious Business Show. We're here live at the Boston Security Analyst Society as a sponsor, and we're excited about that today. And also Global X, that we'll hear hearing from later today on their Conscious Capitalism ETF product. But we're joined here today with Sam Mitchell, who is CEO of Sentinel Benefits Group. So welcome. Thank you for being here. And Sam actually has been with the organization for a number of years. He joined in 2000, and he's held various roles, primarily as president of Sentinel Benefits Group, the largest business unit within Sentinel organization. And we're going to learn more about him and his background and the organization as we continue. And also joining is Bob Scoville. Bob is actually a founding member of the Conscious Capitalism Boston chapter, so we're excited to have you with us today as well. He is a CEO and president of Performance Talks as a head coach and facilitator, working with a number of business CEOs, and also was the prior chairperson for Vistage International. And so we're very excited to have both here with us today. In discussing certain...
And you're forgetting me.
I'm sorry, Peter. That's my big oversight. Peter Meyerson, our co-host. Yes, thank you. And he's partnered with Cohan, Resnick, and Meyerson. So thank you so much for being
here. It's a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, as we begin our discussion, Sam, if you could take a little step back and give us some information on Sentinel and certainly the development of the organization, but also aligning to some of the elements of conscious capitalism, because that is purpose of our discussion today as well, the work that you do and where the intersection occurs with the business that you have and the conscious capitalism principles.
Sure, Darby. Thanks a lot for having me today. And just to learn a little bit more about who Sentinel Benefits Group is, we were founded in 1987. We're located in Wakefield, Massachusetts, and we're really a financial services and employee benefits firm. And why that's important for today is I think if you take that on its own, it becomes very transactional and a very financially focused industry that we're in. And what we found is that you have to balance that with the things and the tenets of conscious capitalism. And we are real big believers in servant leadership, serving the community above all else. And that includes our employees, our clients, of course, but also the community in which we live. We do a lot with philanthropy and trying to get into the community. So we think that when you look at financial services, it has to be much more than transaction of money. It has to be getting to know people, understanding their needs, and serving them. Our biggest mantra at Sentinel is, how can we help? And we look at that in a lot of different ways. And it's, how do we provide an avenue for our employees to accomplish what they want to accomplish? How do we enhance the financial well-being of our clients? And lastly, we want to be community builders. We actually want to make a difference in the lives of the less fortunate around us. So we think that conscious capitalism and Sentinel Benefits intersects all the time. And if it doesn't, we think that we're going to have a very short-term focus.
I think it probably is all, you know, what you're describing is a great model, but I'm making an assumption, since you've been around for a while, that it wasn't always that way.
I think that's a fair assumption to make.
Okay.
So
the question really is what was the evolution? Why did you move to this conscious capitalism model?
You know, for me, and I think it's a pretty easy thing from my perspective especially, is what is the purpose of what we do, right? And I think that I've been essential, like Dr.
You mean in a global sense.
In a global sense of what is our purpose here, what is my purpose as an organization, and what do we want to do, is we want to make it something that, we want to be part of something that's bigger than just financial services and employee benefits. We truly believe that we have a duty to make sure that people are ready to retire, understand what those needs are, and actually how to survive today with the rising healthcare costs. So we really think that we are educators, and you know, that was really the start of the evolution and the transformation of Sentinel. And then it's really just understanding that we touch so many different lives that it's really hard to not have that type of view and really want to help people. And I think that's part of it. It's been. And we're still evolving, by the way. I think we're still learning.
I think everybody is. But right. But I think the journey's really an interesting one.
Right.
I mean, how long ago did it start for you?
I don't know. I think we met Bob in 2005. I'm a member of Vistage, too, so I understand a lot of those. I don't know. I would say in earnest 2005, 2006, that we really started focusing on those things. And I'd say it ramped up in the last 3 to 4 years, where we really made our Sentinel Cares initiative a major focus of who we are. Sentinel Cares is our employees getting into the community beyond working together and working with our clients, but serving the less fortunate. And we actually offer all of our employees one day away from work, paid day off, but it's not a day off. It's a day to serve, get into the community, and make a difference. And I think we instituted that program, like I said, in probably 2014, and it's growing every year. And it's really become a major part of who we are, and it's reshaped our core values and our purpose, actually.
I mean, that's a great model. I mean, frankly. So, anyhow, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm always interested in how these things track and where they come from, and you know.
Well, no, I think it's a good question to ask, because it gets at the human experience that you also mentioned, you know, Peter. But and Sam, you had just said, you know, with the day off and employees go off and give of themselves in the community. What has been some of the feedback? What have people come back and articulated to you and others? I mean, that changes the texture of the culture, right, and the organization, I bet.
Sure. I think it's interesting, because it's always, what I hear from our employees is it was actually more of an impact on them than probably what we did for the community. Yeah. And I think it creates more alignment with who we are as an organization and the actual community that we serve. Because, you know, Sentinel Benefits, while we have a national reach of clients, our focus is really in a more of a regional basis. So we really work very closely with the people we serve. They're in our communities every day. And I think it just created much stronger alignment between what we are and who we want to be, and actually those that we're impacting. And it's been great. And it's actually, you know, I think it's made us better people, to be honest with you.
So. But do you find that it causes some otherwise good employees to leave because they don't have that alignment?
That's a good question. I think since we started in 2014, I'm not sure we have enough data to see.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I can tell you that it's definitely raised our awareness of the type of employees we want. And who we're looking for. I don't think I can draw a correlation yet that because we're asking people to serve more, that people are not interested in that. We have seen a participation in this program rise every year. It's not where I want it to be. I think I want 100%. I know that's not real. But our goal is for 90% in the next couple of years to participate. We're currently at about 65% of our 200 employees do serve through Sentinel Cares. And that's not totally a fair statement for them, because we don't track if they serve in their community outside of that program. But in that program, it's about 65% of our employees.
I mean, that strikes me as incredibly high.
I mean, frankly.
So
I have high expectations.
I know. But that's okay.
Well, that's the vision to drive it
right,
forward.
Exactly.
No, I think that's great. Well, and even to be able to capture those stories, you know, whether they're doing it in their local community or they're doing it through Sentinel Cares, they're making a difference. But as you said, they're making a difference with themselves. And I think that's where it kind of starts, maybe for all of us, as to why we're even here today, right? To hear the story, but to also connect on that human level that says, you know what, we are in business, we work, we go to a location, you know, typically every day, but it's the interaction, it's that human experience, and how can we really leverage that and make that better for all of us, right?
Right.
As a CEO, and putting that CEO hat on, because yes, you have to jockey both sides, you know, just as Peter brought up the human side, but there's also the business side of it and how that blends together. Talk to us a little bit about the changes that you've made at Sentinel and the organization and what it stands for, and how you look at connecting that into the investing community. You know, Wall Street looks at long-term value, and I realize that's obviously more on the public sector, but there still is the investment piece of it that says you're creating value, tremendous value for your stakeholders. How do you translate that and look at that from a CEO's perspective to say, you know what, I'm doing this, and how do I get the investment community to recognize what we're doing? Because that's a big bridge that's got to be built.
Yeah, I think the timing of your question's perfect. We have really tried to become thought leaders in the industry and to make that difference. And yesterday, we were recognized by Charles Schwab as the best in business. We won the Best in Business Impact Award.
That's great.
Oh, thank you.
At their conference.
Congratulations.
Oh, fantastic.
We're extremely proud of that.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Proud for the obvious reasons, but mostly proud because it's best in business isn't because you have the highest earnings or you have, mm-hmm. you know, certain metrics that are business metrics. It's that we have really propelled the industry forward with how we look at serving participants and serving employers. And it's really, we focus on the 99% and not the 1%. We're not a high net worth financial advisory mm-hmm. firm. We really try to help those in retirement programs that's all they have to save and that's all they're going to retire on it, try to educate them. So when you ask the question about how do we help the investor community, we're really trying to look at that or change the way that people look at that and not just look at the high net worth person that accumulates a lot of wealth. Is how do you serve all of us
right.
that need to be able to retire
right.
with some sort of dignity, understand what those costs in retirement are going to be, and set a plan today of how to get there, whether that's I'm 22 years old and I just started out of college, or I'm 40 and I have a family of five and I don't know which way is up, I'm 55 years old trying to plan and help my parents as they reach the end, so to speak. So
right.
I think
it's
a really important strategy that we're focused on, and I think the more that we can get our industry, which is a very transactional industry, to understand the human element of that,
mm-hmm.
then I would say we're successful, and I would say we have a long way to go.
Well, you've obviously been successful in the recent award that you've been given. How, you've talked about understanding the lives of your clients and the relationships. I mean, how do you go about doing that? How do you approach that? And what have you learned over the years and having those conversations? Because it's probably been very heartfelt.
Yeah, I think it's great. It starts with a conversation. And for us, the conversation has to start with asking and listening and not
mm-hmm.
telling. And I think for us, it is really important to go meet our clients, understand what their needs are from a corporate perspective, understand what they're faced with, but also what their employee engagement is and what the employees are dealing with as well. You can't assume that you have all the answers if you don't ask those questions. And
right.
I think for us, what's been eye-opening for us, and we've been doing this strategy for well over 10 years and really focused on getting out and understanding what the needs are instead of saying, this is what Sentinel does and this is what you're going to adapt to. We're really trying to understand how we can adapt to their needs, because every story is a little bit different when you get into an organization of what that need is and how do you help. And like
mm-hmm.
I said, if we care about how we help, first thing you have to do is care about asking the right questions.
Right.
Well, it sounds like your strategy for doing business is very similar to your strategy for helping. I mean, it's really quite remarkable when you look at the parallels. I mean, how do you stack up? How does Sentinel stack up in the industry size-wise?
Oh, we're very small. I would say from a financial services perspective, 200 employees in our reach is fairly small. But what I learned is you can be influential at any size.
Well, that's really the question I was getting to was, are you finding other companies in your size and maybe even bigger kind of going along with the more conscious capitalist approach?
Oh, I think absolutely. And I think it comes down to organizations trying to understand what that purpose is. But even the example of that Sentinel Cares, I can tell you that we've become a little bit leading edge, at least locally, in terms of helping other organizations much larger than us or much smaller than us try to put these programs in place and to develop that policy and procedures to create a program around it that becomes part of the culture, because you have to start somewhere. And a lot of organizations have been so focused on bottom line, growing their wealth, that they miss the boat. And for me, it's relationships, and we're a service industry. We don't make products. We don't build widgets. We don't do those things. We are really, at the core, we are only a service provider. So I don't understand how you can build a sustainable company if you don't build sustainable relationships. To me, those have to go together.
Right. Well, it's relationships to life. It's relationships to each other, right?
Right.
I mean, that's really what
exactly.
we're doing, and especially on the service side. If you could share with us your maybe stories of impact, you know, where you have felt that aha moment that happened to you as you went through your time with the firm and then dealing with the clients. I mean, even imposing to them and educating them on purpose and you know, kind of the human condition, how do they incorporate that into their business? And what's been the biggest impact that you've seen over your time?
So I think for me, the biggest aha moment is always the small things. When you talk to participants and their needs are, and we face it all the time ourselves, if we just take off our corporate hat and just say,
right.
I'm Sam, just a normal person, what are my needs? Is,
yeah.
The ability to help somebody in such small ways that makes such a monumental impact on their life that day
mm-hmm.
is, that's always an aha moment for me, because we overanalyze what we do. I think we use business jargon that just kind of misses the point. And when you can step back and realize, hey, I actually helped somebody today, and it might have been
right.
helping them plan for, you know, purchasing a house or trying to pay off student debt or something like that that's hugely important to them, but sometimes gets overtaken in the normal business courses. That's, to me, those are small things, but they're aha moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've talked a lot about the Sentinel Cares initiative for our organization. That was an aha moment for us, because we put that program in place kind of unsure of how it would change us, if it would change us,
mm-hmm.
or if it was just going to be a thing we do. That has changed, and Bob has seen it quite a bit. It's changed who we are. It's changed
mm-hmm.
how we hire. It's changed how we serve. It's changed our internal corporate culture in terms of just helping each other. That has been
That's huge.
It's been a huge change in who we are. It's made us better.
I mean, at the risk of really running over our allotted time, which I'm sure everybody's thinking about at this point in time, how did that decision get made? I mean, how many people made that decision? It wasn't just you.
I think it was a concerted effort of a lot of us when we look at our strategy meetings, and Bob had helped us do a lot of our strategic initiative meetings over the last, again, 10 years, is there was always something missing. It was, we always focused on what is our revenue goal going to be, and we always did talk about corporate culture, but there was always that piece missing of who else are we helping? Mm-hmm. And it really was probably about 20 people in a room, 21 including Bob, really trying to identify what it is that we're missing. We came away with the thinking that we weren't great corporate citizens yet. And it wasn't intentional, it just wasn't a focus.
Yeah.
And I think that once we made it a focus, like I said, it really started to propel us into a different direction. And this conscious capitalism is exactly what we want to become. And I think as a CEO and a leader, these are my tenets as a person too. And I think that's important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a great story. I mean, it really is.
No, it is. It is. It's your live living color. You're going through. And I think the piece that we tend to forget when we get into the business side is that we're the human first, right? And that's how we came into this world and how we developed and created our own value structure. But there's the spiritual, the emotional, the intellectual. I mean, it all kind of wraps together. And how do we bring that to the table, right?
Right.
With those stakeholder discussions and be transparent, but also be innovative and creative and bring everybody together, which is successful. And it's encouraging to hear, too, that through that CARES program is when you began to see the change happen within your environment. And that's been productive and going forward.
Right.
In sharing with our listeners, you know, you talk about new frontiers for the firm, your service provider, use of technology. I mean, where are you going? What are some of the next steps and how you evolve? But don't lose that kind of core,
right,
in terms of what drives you.
I actually think I'd let Bob answer this question, because I think one of the things that we've really tried to do is build future leaders. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to create this sustainability of Sentinel Benefits, how do we create the people to create that sustainability? And we've actually been working with Bob for quite a while. Probably Bob can speak to it better than I can, because he's been a key component of us being successful in that area.
Well, sure, yeah. I think that we've been talking about purpose, and we've been talking about the impact that you've had on the community. And I think that some of the entree into the conscious capitalism for Sentinel has been the intentional and conscious work on leadership at the firm. And that's starting with the founders, with John Carnevale and his participation in Vistage and his support within the organization of having you, Sam, and others participate, but then in growing coaching throughout the organization, having employees and executives in the organization receive that coaching and participate, and then building a leadership development program. And I think it's as those leaders have evolved, they have begun to see how their impact can be greater than just the bottom line, and to have that desire to get involved in the community. And I think that as they have grown as leadership, as leaders within the organization, they're starting to identify some of those new frontiers. I mean, even at our most recent strategic planning meeting, when there was sort of this overwhelming desire to update the purpose and to broaden the purpose and deepen that into, you know, really making a difference. And I think that to me, that's a function of how the organization has been so intentional at growing leadership.
No, that's wonderful. That's right on the spot. So you're on the right trajectory, and it's very exciting to hear this. For our listeners that want to reach out, learn more about Sentinel and your plans, and certainly Sentinel Cares, what's the best way that they should reach out to find you?
Certainly our website. So feel free to visit www.sentinelgroup.com. There's a lot of information of how to get connected. Certainly reach me on LinkedIn. We'd definitely be happy to help learn from you as well and just continue the conversation.
Wonderful. Well, that's Samuel Mitchell and Bob Scoble. So thank you so much for being with us today on the Conscious Radio Show with Radio Entrepreneurs here at the Boston Security Analyst Society, and also our other sponsor, Global X, for the Conscious Capitalism ETF. We're going to break for a few commercials, and Radio Entrepreneurs will be right back. Thank you.